And we're back midstream in this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Well, as students head back to campus for the fall semester, perhaps you have a student who's headed back to campus, or perhaps you are a student who's found himself or herself back on campus. Well, we like to check in with Iowa's university and college presidents about this time of year to discuss the challenges they're facing. Joining us this half hour in our Iowa City studio, Bruce Harreld, president of the University of Iowa. He's been in that position coming up on 2 years. President Harreld, welcome back to our program.
Ben, good to be with you.
Want to welcome our listeners. Your questions for University of Iowa President Bruce Harreld. We'll talk a little bit later about a University of Iowa tuition proposal that would increase resident undergrad rates about 7% each year through 2022. What questions does that raise for you in terms of college affordability? Join us with your questions for University of Iowa President Bruce Harreld, 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100, or email us rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. President Harreld, a few days ago, you welcomed back the over 33,000 students, I think, at the University of Iowa, and in doing so also denounced the KKK, the neo-Nazis, the white supremacists in the wake of the violence we saw in Charlottesville, the injuries, the one death 10 days ago, I think. Prompts me to ask you, where do you see the limits of free speech on your campus?
Well, I think there's a distinction in our minds, an important distinction between free speech and academic freedom, both of which we support completely. So this was not, in my mind, an issue of free speech. You're allowed to come to our campus. We're an open community. Express your point of views. On the other hand, you cannot bring hatred and violence to our campus. And so I was trying to remind our community and others that there's a difference here. We are very accepting community, all sorts of points of views on our campus. In fact, we bring different points of views into our classroom as teaching points. And at the same time, we don't bring hatred. We bring inclusion. We're not divisive people. We're uniters. And part of our culture is celebrating a vast array of differences in thoughts and abilities of expressing those and debating those. Good Lord, we have violent debates on so many issues on our campus. But at the same time, it's civil, and it never gets into personal hatred or group hatred or violence. And that was the distinction I'm trying to draw. You have the right to speak your mind here. You don't have the right to actually make our campus unsafe.
So making unsafe in terms of coming with weapons or potential weapons. Well, how do you define, coming to make something unsafe, a situation?
Well, in particular, when people start pressing their bodies against one another and trying to take my space and starting to bring weapons, to bring sticks, to bring shields, and exert physical power. So we're very supportive of mental power, and we have a lot of interchanges where we're all expressing our mental power, if you will. But the minute it starts to become physical, I think we start drawing some lines. And I was just trying to and I hope people took it. I got a number, probably the most positive support comments as I've walked around campus, as well as an email and even some physical mail responses to this than anything else I've ever said. And I haven't gotten a negative yet. I'm sure there's someone out there, and maybe now that I've said that, the people on the other side will express themselves. But it was interesting because, and it wasn't intended at all to be at all the way into the political issue. It was just, what are the institution's values, which I think leaders have an obligation of expressing and reminding the community of, and at the same time, living up to those values. And so I was trying to basically say, particularly with almost in total now about 5,500 or so new members of our community, trying to make sure they understood who we are and what we stand for.
Did the violence in Charlottesville prompt you in any way to have any discussions or review protest policies on campus, or perhaps talk with the city officials in Iowa City, do sort of a what if? Are we sure we have the right policies in place? Should something like this be planned for the Iowa City area?
Charlottesville, per se, a little. I think it's been going on all the way back to the election, and so I think we started really going through what you just described back in the election. And even before that, we actually went back to our original policies in the late 60s and 70s and found some of those and said, how much of those do still apply? And we had to update some of those, obviously. But I really think it started around the election. Then it actually got more intense around the early administrative executive orders that were coming down, particularly the travel ban. And then we had a group of people, and the Dreamers Act was challenged in various ways. And so there was all of a sudden our students are now living in a different environment where they thought they were completely accepted by our society. There were some statements coming out, and they were questioning how accepted they were. And there were some protests, but so we had to ask ourselves if it turns the other way and becomes more unruly and actually uncivilized and actually violent, what would happen? So we did interface with the state as well as the city and our own police department. But fortunately, none of that has happened. We've had some very peaceful protests where states' minds have been exchanged quite interestingly. And in many cases, I've actually joined in some of those just to listen and participate. That's part of the process.
By coincidence, President Harold, you and I were last night at a welcoming party at for the University of Iowa's International Writing Program. The residency is beginning this year. 35 writers from 34 different countries spending 12 weeks in Iowa pursuing their writing and getting to know Iowans and Iowa and so forth and each other. For the first year, just to pick up on your comments, I was surprised in talking with many of the writers, actually interviewing many of them, that many have not been to the United States, let alone to Iowa. They were actually, for the first time I can remember in over 15 years of talking with such writers, filled with anxiety coming to the United States because of the climate that we have here. Did you find that as well?
Yes, I think sometimes we forget, we view ourselves as living in a cocoon, but it's actually a pretty interconnected world. They are watching. I think across the United States, there's been fairly dramatic. I was at a drop-off in the applications of international students to a number of institutions. I was at an AAU meeting in spring, I believe it was in April, and we were all, the 62 institutions represented at the table, were all talking about fairly dramatic drop-offs in applications. And I think it was directly related at that point in time to the travel ban. And then you pile other issues on. So, I think we... I don't want to say you were completely entitled to be surprised last night about that being forefront. On the other hand, I'm not as surprised. It's been going on for a while. We've been building up to it.
Mm-hmm. How have you reacted as president of the University of Iowa to this new climate that we are then showing to the world, to international students, for instance? What problems has that posed, and how have you reacted?
Well, we've tried to do several things. I think one thing is we try to, as we did last week, when there's an issue pop up, we try to be quite clear about what our values are and where we stand on these issues. And so one of them is just taking a stand and reiterating that. But I think more importantly is actually doing something about it. So actually spending time, as we were last night, talking to some of the new international writers, students, they're not really students, but fellows that are in the program, talking to them about their concerns and letting them know what we're doing specifically. Tonight, there is a set of activities in a number of our cultural houses. So being visible, listening, and then enacting programs. In many cases, they're just individual students that need help. And part of our job is to help them here, particularly with the international students. I'm reminded of last year when the travel ban originally went into effect. We made very clear statements about the university policy. But we also asked an interesting question, which is how many students are from those seven original countries? And it turned out to be 86. And I remember someone saying, well, 86 we could get in one room and have meaningful conversations about what they need in terms of support. And probably they need advice about should they take a job outside of the United States.
And you did this.
And we absolutely did that. We met over 2 days. It was a Friday and then a Monday. And many of the 86 had specific issues. They had job opportunities during the summer in another country. And because they were from one of the seven countries, they may not have been able to come back in the United States. And so we had said, well, we can help you because you probably shouldn't take that summer job. Let's find you another summer job here in Iowa City, which then led to housing issues and all the rest. But I think we have a tendency to talk and not follow up the talk with specific action. And we've been trying to work on both ends of that.
a number of issues to get to, and I see our time is slipping away from us. Bruce Harreld is with us, the president of the University of Iowa. Join our conversation with your question, 1-866-780-9100. Want to talk about tuition. Last week, you proposed hiking resident undergraduate tuition significantly at the University of Iowa in the coming years, 41% over the next 5 years. That's 7%, about 7% each year through the year 2022, raising rates from what they are right now to about 7,500 to, at the end of that 5 year period, 10,500. Why such a steep increase?
Well, let me back up. Bear with me for a moment, because I think it's the we have had a decade of dropping in performance in a number of key areas, most importantly around student success metrics. We are asked to benchmark by our regents against a number of other Big Ten schools, plus Arizona, UCLA, Texas, and North Carolina. And if you look at their student success metrics, and I'll just give you a couple of examples, that group, first of all, U.S. News and World Report, on average, taking ourselves out of that, they're at 19, we're at 33. In terms of the graduation rates, they're at 93%. Retention rates, and ours are at 86%. In terms of the four-year, getting out within 4 years, we're at 51%. They're at 63%. There have been a decade of a decreased funding. We're one of only 11 states in the United States where, let me back up, 100% of the states have had deappropriation by their state legislatures. We're only one of 11 states that haven't been able to take the tuition up to recover that. We're actually fifth in the bottom. After a decade, I think you're beginning to see the outcomes in our rankings, AAU rankings, U.S. News Report, some of the numbers I just cited. And we have worked for the last year and a half very hard in trying to take a close look at where we want to be. And do we want to be in that pack and in that club? And if so, we have to up our game. Mm-hmm. In some sense, I say this is more than about tuition. It's about a choice. The choice is, what type of institution should the University of Iowa be? Is it a world-class member of the AAU, one of those 62 elite institutions in the United States and in the world? Or are we comfortable dropping down into the lower rankings of that and maybe even dropping out of that?
Okay, you can ask another question. Are you an institution that, as a public university, is still affordable to every student who is merited to come through these doors? The affordability at $10,500 a year is a question for many students and many families supporting those students.
Indeed, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but we're at the bottom of the index. Our tuition rates, we're a bargain. In fact, for year in, year out, we've been one of the better values in a number of rankings. Our tuition is at the bottom.
And with this increase over the next 5 years, we'll remain at the bottom?
With this increase, we would actually be at the middle of the peer group today. So that's assuming no one else ever takes their tuition up over the next 5 years. At the end of 5 years, we would be at today's median. But I want to come back to a bigger point, which is, this isn't about the tuition. Well, let me look at this another way. We need to get to do what we think we need to do to deliver student success and outcomes, and to protect the brand of the that's going on the CV of our students as they go out into the job market. We need about $33, $34 million a year. 35% of that, $11 to $12 million, we're going to take from internal cost efficiencies, restructuring our own activities. Stop doing some things to put it right back up against the issues that we're talking about. And then we're asking the other 65% to come from the state or tuition. The numbers you're referring to assume that the state gives us no more support. The last year they took us from $232 million in total support to $216. We're assuming in the 7% that they don't take the $216 up.
So this is also a message for our legislature.
Big time. So, and we're agnostic. If in fact the legislature can find a way to support us more, then the 7% would come down concomitantly, proportionately. And I think that's the dynamic. This isn't just about tuition. It's first and foremost about the choice. What type of institution should the University of Iowa make? do Iowans want to have a world-class institution in their state? And secondly, how do we fund it? And it needs to be some combination of our doing, cleaning up our own act and becoming more efficient. And secondly, the state support, and finally, tuition.
University of Iowa President Bruce Harreld with us for a final few minutes. We do want to include a call or two here for sure. Matt is with us in Cedar Rapids. Matt, you wanted to hone in on tuition as well, what the president has just been discussing. What's your question?
Yeah, I guess I'm just not clear. The way you just described things, I'm not hearing how raising tuition to the rates of the other universities you mentioned is actually going to improve Iowa's standing. I mean, this is still a top-tier school, Mr. Harreld, and nothing you've said actually supports that performance is somehow going to look better while raising the tuition for students.
Okay, Matt, thanks. I guess, please connect some dots here for us, University President.
Yes, and of course, just raising tuition or increasing resources, Matt's correct. One needs to go further than that. It's how you use the money. And if, in fact, we use the money and squander it away in some other activities, then, in fact, we'll stay where we are in terms of these numbers. On the other hand, if we put more programs in place for mentoring our students, what we call high-impact practices, getting them engaged in research, getting them engaged in the class activities that they're in, our cultural houses, the living learning centers, we have so many different examples of how we tend to think about our university like ours is only in the classroom. It's actually 60% of the time students are actually engaged in other activities throughout our communities. The more purposeful we are in engaging those out-of-class activities to their in-class activities, the better off we are. So Matt's right. If we just take the money, put it in the pocket, and hire more administrators, it wouldn't be very effective. North Carolina is a very interesting example. It's a state where that has at the bottom of our peer group in terms of household income. I was at the number three in the state. And if you look at North Carolina, they get from their state several hundred million dollars more in total resources, and their outcomes are better because they've chosen to invest them in the student programs to support academic tutoring, mentoring, counseling, leadership development, and the list goes on and on. And we're putting things together right now with the shoestring, and I think you can see it in the data.
Okay. Less than 5 minutes with University of Iowa President Bruce Harreld. Let's go back to the phones. John in Des Moines, welcome to the program. I ask you to be brief with your question.
Thanks, President Harreld. I appreciate your creativity and some of the sacred cows you've addressed here in Iowa.
Thank you.
All right.
My question is, and to the previous caller, I think the what indication of the value of the University of Iowa education is the amount that out-of-state students pay. So, I would use that as a metric. But my question, in terms of diversifying some of the revenue sources to the university, one that has been raised in the past, and I understand, the sacred nature of football and you want to be competitive, but there's a lot of money coming in through those TV contracts, and there seems to be a lot of money sloshing around in the athletic department and people looking for ways to spend all that money. And I'm wondering, maybe there's a way to work with the other universities so that more of this money can flow, back into the general funds from these universities, and we raise the brand of the entire university versus spending lots of money on a very narrow segment of the stuff.
Okay, Matt, I think we've got it. Thanks from Cedar Rapids. Bruce Harreld.
You're absolutely right. We spent the most of last summer going line by line through every pocket of the university, not just the educational portion of that. And to your point about athletics, I won't speak to other institutions, but within our own institution, we actually have started a program with athletics, and they give us several million dollars a year already. I should back up because there are just a small group of Division I athletic departments that actually aren't running negative numbers. We're fortunate to be part of the Big Ten, and under good leadership, we actually are positive. And so last year, the athletic department contributed about $2 million to what we were just talking about, and that number we have a plan to continue taking that up and particularly support the cultural houses and some of the mentoring and tutoring and campus safety issues I was alluding to a moment ago. So you're absolutely right, and stay tuned. We'll be doing more and more of that.
We've got a couple minutes left before we have to end this conversation. Let me ask you, because you are a former corporate executive with IBM, Kraft Foods, General Foods, Boston Market. In the nearly 2 years you've been here, you mentioned restructuring a few minutes ago. What have you done in terms of bringing practices from the corporate world to make the UI more successful? Can you give us any concrete examples?
Well, I think there's a lot. I think we've changed the budgeting process fairly substantially. In the way we developed a new strategic plan, we've now shifted the way we allocate resources to get over those issues, hence some of the numbers I was talking about earlier. But I think more importantly, we've gone college by college to understand, and one of the points I was making last week in the tuition discussion is it's very, I have to be very careful comparing institutions. It's hard. Iowa State and Iowa love to be compared to one another, but very, very different. The economics of a medical school versus a law school, versus a dental school, versus an engineering school, they all have terribly different economics. And so we can now understand the differences in each of our colleges. It's more like a business unit P&L that we have, 11 of these. So that's one. Resource allocation, as I said, is a second. I think also the cultural issues that we've tried to instantiate, living to our values.
Nearly 2 years as the University of Iowa president, do you think you understand the academic world in your position as an administrator, as well as you understood and do understand the corporate world? Are you up to speed now?
I don't think I'll ever be fully up to speed on any of this. I think we're always continually learning, and I would leave the judgment of that to others. But I have a lot of people helping, and I feel quite comfortable in the academic as well as the, if you will, the budgeting world that we're living in.
Okay. Bruce Harreld, president of the University of Iowa, hope to continue this conversation with other university and college presidents here in Iowa. Thank you for your input. Listeners calling in, Bruce Harreld, president of the University of Iowa, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Ben.
River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury, Ben Stanton, and Lindsay Moon. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. I'm Ben Kiefer. Politics Day tomorrow. Hope you'll join us. Until then, goodbye.